need to break the fourth wall. So the fourth wall is technically from the theater world, not the worship world, but I think it applies here. The fourth wall is this imaginary wall that stands between a performer and an audience that only the audience can see through. It's what allows people to observe a scene being acted out where it appears actors have no idea that they're being watched. And when the fourth wall is broken, the actors pause their story and directly address the audience in front of them. Breaking the fourth wall has been used since before Shakespeare's time, and he used it quite a bit. And it's an actor or writer's way of saying, I know you're here watching, so I'm going to let you in on something you wouldn't otherwise know. So I'm telling you this piece of theory because although preaching and worship is not acting or a performance, a lot of times it does feel like there's this fourth wall. I offer a sermon as if you all are right there with me in every belief and every practice and each instance of understanding, but you all watch and listen from a wide variety of places. Sometimes you're like, yeah, I'm right there. And sometimes you're like, well, I'm not so sure about that. I think I need to pick that apart a little bit. And sometimes you're in a totally different place, like you're going through your grocery list in your head, or you're wondering if you left the oven on. And I know this because whenever I have the opportunity to sit in the pews, my mind has gone in all of those different directions, sometimes in the same 15-minute sermon. So today, I am breaking the fourth wall to say this. I know that as big as Christmas is in our church, in our religion, and in our culture, there are gigantic barriers for Christians, particularly progressive Christians, to listen to the scriptures that make up the Christmas story and feel like it's something they can fully believe in. I know that even though most of us love the ideas of Christmas, of focusing on hope and peace and joy and love for a season, the actual Christmas story makes us shift in our pews. There's this woman who gets pregnant when she's supposedly engaged to be married, but still a virgin. But she doesn't get pregnant by her fiancé, because that would be too easy. She becomes pregnant with the Spirit of God and gives birth to God's child in a manger, far from home. And strangers show up to congratulate her. First, filthy, smelly shepherds straight from the fields who she's never heard of. And then later on, wise men with very impractical gifts like incense and myrrh. I get it. It doesn't really jive with most of our notions of reality. Now, some of us grew up in churches that told us, this story is fact and you are not to question it. And some of us didn't grow up in churches at all, and we come here saying, where is this story coming from and where's the evidence that it happened? And does everyone around me fully believe it? And almost all of us get excited when we hear some parts of these Christmas scriptures, but then our mind does a little skip over other parts. So I'm here to say I see you, I hear you, and I am certain you're not alone. So I want to invite us to hear the Christmas story today and in the coming days as we return to worship on Christmas Eve for our traditional lessons and carol service, which is all about the story, and listen not from a place of, is this real? But what is the story about? And how might hearing this story transform my life or my faith? So I know that we can do this. We go to the movies, and every so often there's a film that's so amazing, we call our friends and say, that movie was incredible. You won't believe the story they created, but it totally changed how I see the world. You have to go watch it. Or we read a book that, even though it's fiction, feels like it touches upon real human emotions and circumstances and helps us enter into a different time or place, and we're profoundly changed from reading and absorbing that story. We don't put the book down and say, "Too bad that didn't really happen, so it has no value to me." No, we stand in awe that our spirits could be touched in such a way by a story that someone else created. So this Christmas, instead of debating the facts or the science or the history, and there's certainly plenty to debate, I would invite us to hear the story. Joseph Campbell, who made it his life's work to write about stories and how and why we tell them, said, "If you want to change the world, you have to change the metaphor." The Christmas story is about changing the metaphor, about offering us a new understanding of God and what it means to be human and what we are called to do as humans. It's a story about power and faith, of unlikely heroes, and choosing love again and again and again. So I'd invite us to return to the Christmas story once more and listen in with fresh ears. Joseph's story is the original holiday love story, and it's a lot more dramatic than anything depicted on the Hallmark Channel this time of year. Joseph was a man who had his life together. Scripture describes him as a righteous man, meaning he thought about others before he thought about himself. He was a good guy, honest and upstanding and engaged to be married. And if life had turned out as he planned, the credits would have rolled during his wedding to Mary, and we would know nothing more about him. But instead, God appears and redirects Joseph's life. For Joseph, this meant taking a risk. It meant that he would have to trust his fiancée even when she unexpectedly becomes pregnant. It meant that he would have to trust a dream that tells him to stay with her. And it meant he would have to go on a journey that would not only change his life, but would change the entire world for generations to come. Joseph said yes to God and yes to a baby. He said yes to love, and he was never the same again. I think that when Joseph said yes to God's plan for him, he was choosing love, and that meant his story was just beginning. It broke his life open and turned it upside down, because that is what love does. Love transformed his quiet, righteous life into something that was messy, and I imagine took a lot more explaining, but was also incredibly powerful. Today, Christmas remains a time of year that is intended for all of us who can relate to Joseph. Christmas is for anyone who's ever created a sensible 10-year plan for their life, and no sooner did you finalize it, but something new came whirling in that set you on a completely different course. Christmas is for anyone who would prefer to have a quiet life with manageable expectations, but instead finds themselves caught off balance by forces they can't control. It's for anyone who feels like they're a decent human being trying to do their best to get by in the world without harming anyone too badly, only to be asked to do something big and courageous and terrifying with unknown consequences. The Christmas story is for those of us who understand that saying yes to love in our lives means saying yes to letting go, stepping into the unknown, and trusting that eventually it will work itself out. The part I enjoy most about Joseph's story is that he has a choice. Mary is a pregnant, unwed woman during a certain time period, so her options are quite a bit fewer. And Jesus is born a baby with no say in the matter, and years ahead of him before he will realize who he is and what he's destined to do. But in this little family, Joseph is the one who most fully has choices before him. He could have walked away. He could have continued with his original plan and dismissed Mary quietly, which would have actually been a kind thing to do in that time. He could have said no to God, no to the challenge that was before him. He had a choice, and he chose love. He chose to love and stay committed to a woman, even if he didn't fully understand her call to parenthood. He chose to raise a child, to be the one to name him, and to love him as his father. And he chose to love God by following God and trusting God. He had a choice, and Joseph chose love. The story of this little family, a couple about to give birth to their first child, stays with us year after year because we understand these choices. And we know what it is like to say yes to love. We know that love is a risk, one that has the power to hurt us and to break our hearts. We know that love is a challenge, and that alongside love always comes conflict. We know that when we choose love, we are stepping outside of our comfort zone. We know that when we love, we are opening ourselves up. We become vulnerable, and that can scare the pants off of us. We also know that love is full of hope and joy and moments of peace and rewards that are sweeter than anything else in the world. We know that as scary as love can be, it can also be the best feeling you have ever felt. Joseph's story is our reminder about the life-changing, awe-inspiring moments that come when we take the risk to choose love. Connections are formed, affection is given and received, and the more we make room for it in our lives, love becomes the foundation upon which everything else is built. This is true for familial love, romantic love, love that is born from a passion for justice and truth, or love that is grounded in community. Love is a strong foundation to build our relationships and communities upon. This precious time before Jesus' birth is the start of Joseph's story. It's the start of him making room for the unexpected and unexplainable in his life. It is the beginning of a deeper relationship with God and with his family. He opened himself up to God, and in doing so was able to respond to others likewise. When the wise men eventually showed up at Jesus' manger, they brought fancy gifts, but Joseph had already offered Jesus the best gift of all. And that would be the gift that would go on to define his ministry and his life. God's gift to us this and every Christmas is love. God knows us and loves us in our triumphs and our tragedies, in the mess and confusion and the wonders of our lives. Each year we're given the choice to enter the Christmas story by choosing love for our own lives and for allowing ourselves to be open to the redirections and surprises that God has in store for us. Remember that when we do, we leave room for new life to break through. We leave room to receive the greatest gift that can ever be offered, to have our lives transformed just as Joseph did. So this Christmas, as you enter the final days of cooking and carol singing and traveling and gift wrapping, remember this one thing. You are loved. You are loved wholly and sweetly and wildly by the same God who loved Joseph and Mary and Jesus. And that kind of love can't wait. Love can't wait. Amen.